The Apostle Paul, in Philippians 3, verse 8, is caught up in a personal confession he makes to the Philippian church. We read there, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." This confession comes as a result of his reflection on his own life prior to his conversion. Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee in the strictest sense. He had a name among the Jews and a title that he bore proudly. So zealous was he to maintain the outward customs and laws of the Jews that he even persecuted the Church of Christ. But now he saw the fallacy and folly of his way. "What things were gained to me then," he writes in verse 7, "those I count loss for Christ." After his conversion on the road to Damascus, he realized that all things were but dung in light of the knowledge of his salvation in Christ Jesus. These outward works of the law had nothing to do with his justification, with grounds for his salvation. In fact, they stood directly opposed to salvation in Christ. Therefore, he gives the personal confession of the verse that we consider today. We ought not to fail to see this personal aspect of this passage today either. Paul exclaims, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." We cannot fail to read this passage without noticing that Paul here is pouring out the thoughts of his own heart. And it is this personal confession of Paul that is meant to be taken upon our lips as God's children. As we repeat these words of the apostle, we must be ready to make them our own. We must be ready to make them the course and the direction of our own lives in this present world. We must count or confess that we count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. So we bear in mind the personal aspect of this passage. As we bear these words in mind, we will understand what Paul means too when he tells us that we must lose all in order to win Christ. To understand the meaning of our confession, we must take careful note of what Paul is doing here in this verse. Twice in this verse, and once in the verse prior to it, we find the word count. Paul is counting or taking account. And what is meant by that is that not merely is Paul considering something, but that term denotes a deliberate and careful judgment that Paul makes. In other words, Paul means to say that he is taking two different things and weighing them one over against the other. He's comparing them. He is carefully scrutinizing the advantages and disadvantages of both, the strong points as well as the weak points, and making a deliberate judgment in order to come to a determined conclusion concerning these two things. He lays them in the balance, so to speak, in order to find which one of them is of more value to him. Furthermore, we bear in mind, too, that his counting, this careful weighing and comparing he performs, he does so as a child of God, one in whom Christ has worked by his Spirit. He is one who has been enlightened by the grace of God. An unbeliever would not come to the same conclusion that Paul comes to in our text. The comparing he is performing is a spiritual one, which requires a heart and a soul capable of making such a value judgment. So, it is implied that not all men can make the careful counting that Paul does here. But what is it that Paul compares? On the one hand, on the one side of the balance, there is the all things, which Paul compares and judges over against. On the other hand, the other side of the balance, the knowledge he has of Christ Jesus the Lord. Obviously, the all things of our text is comprehensive and all-inclusive. In fact, it includes anything and everything that stands outside of that knowledge of Christ and his salvation in Christ. In other words, Paul looked first of all at everything he had or that he was in his life, whether that be his honor, his title as a Pharisee, or even his line of descent in the generations of Israel, or the laws and traditions that were his as a good Jew. Concerning these, he now makes a judgment as to their real value, as opposed to the knowledge that he now had been given of Jesus Christ and his salvation. We together with Paul make this same deliberate judgment. How much are all the things of this present life, its fame, its glory, its prestige, its riches, in comparison to the knowledge that God has given us of Christ and our salvation? But there is even more yet in this comparison. We find that to be the case in verse 9 of this chapter. There Paul writes, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." How much do I depend upon myself and my own works and righteousness to gain salvation? Is my zeal for righteousness one that I have in keeping an outward show of piousness, in keeping outward works and not an inner godliness of the heart? How much are all these things worth to me? All these questions we confront with Paul as we compare them with our knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. These things are placed on the one side of the balance and weighed over against those things that are placed on the other side of the balance, which is the knowledge of Christ. But what have we been given to know of Christ? This. In the first place, he is Jesus, the one who has accomplished our salvation, the one who in his very person is the revelation of Jehovah, the faithful God of our salvation. This Jesus saves us from our sins. That's what the name means. And he does so by going the way of the cross and paying the price of our sins and taking away our guilt and crediting to us his righteousness in the place of our guilt. This name of our Savior speaks to us of the truth that our Savior has made us partakers of the highest possible good. He has redeemed us from corruption and restores us into the favor and friendship of God. He gives us by means of this a joy and a peace unspeakable, a comfort that will never be gained through the earthly possessions and rigorous keeping of the law. How wonderful a gift to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus and to know our sins have been forgiven us. Secondly, the knowledge that we have of Jesus Christ is found in that name, Christ. Christ means that he is the anointed one of God. He is a one who is anointed as our prophet, priest, and king, a blessed mediator who performs for us the complete work of salvation. As our prophet, he reveals to our hearts our Heavenly Father and makes us to taste and to see the riches of God's covenant established with us. As our priest, he works in us by his Spirit, consecrating us for a holy toil in the service of the Lord and renewing us and cleansing us from all the filth and the corruption of sin. And as our king, he alone hung on the cross and fought the fiercest of battles and emerged as the victorious one. He's conquered sin for us and death and given us the victory. And this Christ, in the third place, is our Lord. That's the other knowledge we have of him. He's our Lord who has purchased us by his precious blood. He is the one who now rules over all things and directs them to our full and complete salvation. He is that Lord and Master who rules in our lives, leading and guiding us to our eternal home. That's the knowledge now that we have of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that knowledge is the knowledge of faith, the knowledge of the heart. Our Lord and Savior in all of his fullness and beauty is not just someone we examine at arm's length, but has no real effect on our lives. If that is true of Christ, then our knowledge would not be all that precious to us personally either, would it? But our knowledge is one by which we embrace Christ unto ourselves and cling to Him and trust in Him in time and eternity. We know Christ as our Lord, as the only source of our salvation. We know that we have salvation in none other than in Jesus Christ, the salvation which is to us the most precious possession in the world. How we long to stand in the presence of God and see Him face to face. And we know, we believe, that the only way into the presence of that living God is through the precious Savior. Do you see the value that we must find in our Savior? If we do not know or understand all that He has done for us, and if we do not fully understand the value of the cross, we'll never be able to count or make proper judgment between Christ on the one hand and the knowledge of Christ and all the other things of this world on the other. We must know Christ spiritually. Then we are ready to make a careful and deliberate judgment between our knowledge of Him and all other things. And when we do, we will find that this is the outcome of our counting. I count all things but dung in comparison to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Can you say that? Can we say that concerning our possessions? Can we say that about our position and rank in this world? And more, can we say that about all the works that we bring forth? They are but dung. They are nothing better than a big pile of manure. Paul uses a term here that holds nothing back. All things are but dung. They are waste. They are refuse, having no value in themselves whatsoever. All things are worthless, even detestable. They are ugly to the eye, and they stink. That is true of all things when they are compared to the knowledge that we have been given by God's grace of Christ. That wonderful knowledge of Christ and salvation is of so great a value to Paul that he finds it to be excellent. He finds this knowledge superior, far surpassing anything else that he knows in this life. It is of such surpassing worth to him that everything else seems to fade into the background. Now, because of the excellency of this knowledge of Christ, Paul cares only about one thing: that he might win Christ. That was his goal. That was his aim in life, to win Christ. And yet he knew that this winning could come only by losing, because winning Christ stands opposed to the things of this world. He could either win Christ and lose all things, or win all things and lose Christ. That's why he tells us in our text, "For Christ I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them dung, that I may win Christ." When Paul speaks of winning Christ, he does not have in mind that Christ is the great prize of some contest. Other passages of Scripture may speak in this way, but not this verse. By this term, win, Paul speaks, however, of gaining Christ or acquiring Christ. So Paul speaks of his desire to gain Christ. That is, his goal in life, his purpose for living, is to receive or to gain to himself Christ and all the benefits of salvation that are found in Christ. You see, when Christ went to the way of the cross, he earned all these precious, precious blessings that come with our salvation. He's the storehouse, therefore, of all these blessings. They are of the richest value to the child of God. But in order for those blessings to become ours, the Spirit of our risen Lord must work in our hearts. And in order to experience those blessings too, we have to come before God in faith. Since the knowledge of Christ was excellent to him, and since all else was dung, surely Paul would reach out after the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And in this way, he willed to win Christ. In fact, looking upon the things of this earth, his place, all he had been given, he is bold to say that he counts all of these things but loss. He believes that the things of this world can only cause disrepair and damage to his one true desire, his one true aim or goal. They are damaging, while the knowledge of Christ is excellent. And that's true too. It is exactly when we win Christ that we will lose all things. For him, for Christ, Paul says, I have suffered the loss of all things. And I have suffered the loss of all things exactly because I belong to Jesus Christ. How did Paul lose all things? Look at who he was. He had a name in Israel. He had a title. He was a Pharisee, a teacher, well respected, of high rank among the Israelites. He lost it all. He lost his possessions. And ultimately, Paul lost his life for Christ. Paul did not of himself give up his Jewish excellence, but Christ made him lose them on that road to Damascus. We ourselves do not just simply give up the things of this world, but when we are drawn to Jesus Christ, oftentimes we lose these things. By working in us the desire to gain only his benefits and gifts, he also so works in us that everything else is subservient to this, and we are willing to give them all up for Christ. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain, Paul states in Philippians 1:21. That's all that counts. All the rest of these things of this life are peripheral. Even our life itself is nothing in comparison to winning Christ. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that we must dispose of all of our possessions or rid ourselves of the titles that we have in this life, but we certainly must be willing to give them up for Christ's sake. Which would we rather gain? Would we like the riches and the fame of this world, or do we prefer the riches that are in Christ Jesus? Which is more appealing to you and to me? That's the question that we confront in connection with this personal confession of the Apostle Paul. Let's not forget that this is a personal confession which the Apostle makes. And for you and me to join with him in such a confession requires that we, even as he, live in faith. Faith is always necessary to make such a confession. With the heart we believe, and with the mouth we confess. When we doubt the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, or when in unbelief we are really not all that thrilled with that knowledge of Christ, if our spiritual life is placed on a back burner, and the things of this world take priority for us, if Bible reading and prayer are not worth the time of day to us, then this confession can hardly be ours. Then the balance, you see, begins to weigh in the wrong direction. Unbelief does not bring such a confession to Paul's lips, and unbelief will not bring it to ours either. On the contrary, it'll bring just the opposite. We will wish to gain all things, and we will count the knowledge of Christ as dung. If you and I begin to place more value on the things of this world, if you and I begin to place more value on our own works rather than what Christ has done for us in this life, tip, the balance will weigh true. If we see the knowledge of Christ is excellent over and above everything else in this life, tip, the balance will show that too. So, we examine our lives and we ask ourselves, can we make this same personal confession that the Apostle Paul makes here? Yea, doubtless, we say, without a doubt, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's our confession. And we will always count these things but dung, because nothing is more precious to the child of God than Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is that our faith? And in that faith, do we make that confession? Then in that faith, you and I have just won Christ. Let's pray. Father, we ask of Thee that Thou wilt work in our hearts by Thy Spirit in grace, that we can see the riches that are found only in Jesus Christ alone, and that in finding those riches, we can say in our own lives that they are of far greater value to us than anything else in this life, and that we are willing to lose all in order that we might gain Christ. Make that the confession of our hearts, in order that we might make that the confession of our lips too. Bless us today by Thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen.